Jesus.
Jesus, the name above every other name. 'Cause Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever be. We live for you.
Oh, we live for you. Let's sing holy.
There is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Worthy of every song.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever sing.
Worthy of every breath.
Worthy of every breath we could ever sing. We live for you.
Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name.
Jesus bled and died for me.
body bound.
Welcome, everybody. Once again, my name is Marvin. It's good to be with you. Let me again just say welcome to everyone that's here, whether this is your first time or whether you've been here many years with us. We just are glad that you're with us today, and we especially always like to welcome those that are here for the first time. So if this is your first time, I want to say thank you for being here. Thank you for choosing to spend some time with us. We would love to get to know you. There's a connection card that is found in the seat right in front of you. You can grab that connection card, fill that out, drop it in the offering bag. Someone will contact you this week just to say hello and to find out how you're doing. You can also stop by the New People's Table that's out in the lobby back there, and there you'll receive a free gift that we have for you this evening. And again, just want to say thank you. Want to say welcome to our church. A few things that I'd like to highlight. One is as you walk in and out of our courtyard, there's some beautiful art on display there. Please make sure to spend some time getting to know some of our CA artists that they've placed their love in terms of displaying their art. So make sure you stop by that on your way out. And we want to say welcome to our online audience as well, wherever you may be. We're so glad that you are with us today. Well, a few things. Information is in your bulletin. Information is on our app. Information is on our website. But we are hosting a baptism class. Scriptures encourage us. Scriptures teach us that after we've given our lives to Christ, the very next thing to do is to get baptized. And we're going to be hosting a baptism class. And that's going to be happening on October 16th. We host that class right over here to my right in room 100, right through that door. And you can come into this class. Again, that's October 16th in room 100. The baptism weekend is going to to be happening November 12th and 13th. So if that's you, we encourage you to get baptized. Get some more information in your bulletin and on our website for that. We are hosting a Compelled Conference because we want to be people who learn how to live missionally, and this conference will help equip us to be missional people in our daily context. We're going to be hearing from great speakers, all missional leaders, so would you register and take some time to be a part of the Compelled Conference? We have a group called Seasoned Seniors, and this is a group for anyone 65 years of age or older to study God's Word, to pray. They host a monthly gathering, and the next time they're going to be meeting is on Thursday, October 20th. It's a prayer meeting, it's a studying in the Word meeting, and also a potluck lunch. So if you want some more information is on our app and on our website, how you can join the Seasoned Seniors. And finally, we are hosting a pre-married and pre-engaged class. So if you are in that exciting season of life, we encourage you to sign up for this class. It's a 5-week course for any couples that are dating and or considering marriage. The class actually begins tomorrow at 1 p.m., but you still have time to register. You can go on our website or just show up tomorrow at 1 o'clock and they will receive you. We're going to continue worshiping the Lord through our giving of our tithes and offerings. But before I do that, I'd love to read out of Nehemiah chapter 10 and verse 35. It says that we bring our first fruits of our crops and everything that we have. And that's what we want to do. We want to be a people who do that, bring our first fruits unto the Lord. So would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. We thank you for all of the various ways that we have to get connected at Christian Assembly. We pray for those all. We pray for those that are considering this next step of baptism. Would you move in their hearts to attend the class and to take that next faithful step of baptism, Lord? And as we worship you through the giving of our tithes and offerings, we just pray that you would bless those that are able to give, that you bless those that are not able to give, Lord. We thank you for your provision in our lives, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ushers, you may now come.
Well, let me add my welcome to those that you have already received. If you're a visitor or guest, my name is Tom, and it's an honor and a privilege to have you here with us. Of course, to those of you online, great to be with you as well. And I was just across the street at the Bring Your Parents to 6, 7, 8 nights. So it was amazing to see all of the parents and students of our middle school ministry having fun together, worshiping together, and hearing a brief word from me over there. So it was great to be with them. Well, we kicked off a brand new series last week called Batteries Not Included, as we're looking at Jesus's words on the topic of prayer and how that not only helps strengthen our prayer life, but really helps create a life and sustain a life that is rooted and grounded in prayer. And as part of that, we asked some people who are part of our church, just, hey, what has been something that has helped you sustain and strengthen your prayer life? And so each week we're showing you just a couple of people and a little bit of their thoughts. So would you take a look at the side screen to see that?
So I'm trying to live out of the realization that the power of the Holy Spirit dwells inside of me, the Creator God, the King of the universe. So I can be more on the offensive when I pray for people. And I can enter into ways of battling against spiritual darkness on behalf of other people. And that's really based on 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, where I have divine power to tear down strongholds and any arguments against the knowledge of God. And I try to bring that to situations with people to help them and really pray against that darkness.
In my prayer life, I found that I'm the most brave when I'm worshiping and the most hopeful when I'm praying. So when I pray, I want to come before the Lord and just worship Him first. In the Word, it says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 anywhere else. And it also says that we need to come to His courts with praise and thanksgiving. So I love to worship the Lord and just become really vulnerable before Him before I pray. And also what God wants from us is just our heart. He just wants our heart, like He asked David for his heart, and David gave it to Him, and he was such a great sinner, but he wanted his heart. And so I love to give the Lord His heart and just be vulnerable and be real in my prayer time with Him. So when I want to worry, it says to be not to be anxious for anything, but to come in prayer and supplication. So I just come. When I worry, I just turn it into prayer. And I just pray and I intercede for whoever I'm worrying for, and I pray for myself, and then just praise God for what He's going to do through that prayer.
It's amazing to get an inside glimpse into some of the prayer lives of people who call CA home. Well, there's a woman, her name's Ali Femia, and she keeps an Amazon-branded smart speaker in the room with her little son, so that he can listen to lullabies as he goes to sleep at night. And she had no idea how comfortable her son had become with this speaker named, as we probably all know, Alexa. And so she has footage of a baby monitor where she wanted to be able to look in and see her son. And as part of that, she was watching it one time. She overheard a conversation that her son was having with, well, Alexa. She was watching this. This video has been viewed more than 5.5 million times on TikTok. But rather than me telling you about it, I wanted you to take a look and a listen. So let's see if we have that video coming up. Kind of makes you wonder, like, what did Alexa add to the shopping list? Like, what was getting ordered and sent to their home under the title of Daddy was sent to your home now on your shopping list? Well, as the little boy put it, sometimes we just need to talk to our father, or as he said it, I just need Daddy. We're going to consider that, but before we do, let's pray. Well, Father, we come to you and we know that we were created by your power and we're sustained by your goodness. And we ask now, as we come to your word, would you speak to us? Would you not only put it in our mind, but would you put it in our hearts, our spirit, our soul? God, I pray for the spiritually convinced and the spiritually unconvinced who are gathered here or gathered online, wherever they may be, that you would penetrate through any distraction, any worry, any confusion, and speak your word in a way that brings the healing that only can come from you, the conviction, the teaching, the instruction we need. Speak now, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, you can flip it open to this little center section. You'll see the teaching notes that are there that you can fill out as we go through our time together. Of course, if you're online, you can get the scriptures from our website, cachurch.com. Well, our title for this series is Batteries Not Included, and we're trying to capture through that image this idea that God doesn't just create us and then just send us out to do life like saying good luck, but instead that we were created to stay connected to him, the source of our power, that it comes from outside of ourselves, that the life that God has created for us to have, we cannot have in its fullness apart from him. In fact, Jesus had a regular time of withdrawing away from people or withdrawing away from crowds or even friends, and he would go and spend time with the Father. It is impossible, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, to follow Jesus publicly, whether in the marketplace, in the family place, in the social media place, in the church place, in the friendship place, unless we first follow Jesus privately into the secret place of prayer. Now, what do we mean by this word prayer? Well, prayer is the offering up of our desires to God for things that are agreeable with his will in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ taught us to pray in his name with the confession of our sin as well as the thanksgiving and the acknowledgement of his mercies and all that he's done for us. We know that Jesus, when the disciples said, "Would you teach us to pray?" he taught them that they needed to have a secret place, a place where they would withdraw from others to meet with the Father. And one of the greatest gifts I think we have in Scripture is we have John 17. John 17 is Jesus' longest recorded prayer in Scripture. It gives us an insider's look on what did Jesus do when he went to meet with the Father? What did he pray about? And including what he prayed for us. So over the next 3 weeks, as part of our series, we're going to walk our way through Jesus' longest recorded prayer to see what God has to teach us from it about prayer, about Jesus, about ourselves, and about the life that Jesus prays that we would have. We pick it up in John 17, verse 1. It says this: after Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life." If you want to know what eternal life is, this is it. "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Okay, let's stop there. The first thing that we see is that the chief end of prayer is that the Father is glorified. Your mindset on prayer matters. For example, if we think of prayer only as a way to get God to do what we would want him to maybe do, then we don't get that to happen. We end up disappointed, right? And it's not wrong, as we'll see, to present your requests to God. In fact, Jesus tells us to do that. But if the sum total of our understanding of prayer is, "God, would you help me handle this circumstance?" then we miss out on the wider framework of prayer. If we understand, according to Jesus, that the chief end of prayer is that the Father is glorified, that shifts our expectation. It shifts our mindset. It even begins to shift our prayers. What we see here is that prayer is not simply an exercise in getting something. It is an exercise in intimacy. It is an exercise in knowing the Father. Now, when Jesus prays that the Son might glorify the Father, what does that word "glorify" even mean? It's one of those words that we might kind of know what it means, but if we were pressed for a definition, we might be kind of hard-pressed to articulate it well. This is what it means. It means to honor, to make known, to increase the fame or renown of someone. To honor, make known, to increase the fame or renown of someone. Notice that even when Jesus makes the request, "Glorify your Son," it is so that the Son might then glorify the Father. So he's saying, look, the glory you give me, I'm going to use it to honor you, to increase your renown, to increase your fame. So we have to ask ourselves, if you're a Christian, how are you doing with your glory these days? Your influence these days? Are we quick to use it to honor the Father? That is the way of Jesus. This idea that the chief end of prayer is that the Father is glorified is not just seen in Jesus' prayer here in John 17, but it's something he told the disciples earlier in John 14, verse 12. It says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And in fact, you will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, put a pin in that last statement. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, because we're going to come back to that in a moment. Jesus' longest recorded prayer continues in John 17, verse 4, this way. He says, "I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed." Jesus existed before the world existed. He's not just some normal guy. He's not just some good or even great moral teacher. He's more than that. He goes on in verse 6, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have, now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you have sent me. So the first thing we see is that the chief end of prayer is that the Father is glorified. The second thing we see is that obedience is a key ingredient to the power of prayer. Last week, we heard it read what is often called the Lord's Prayer, which is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray whenever they said, Lord, teach us to pray. In reality, I would say that that should probably be called the disciples' prayer, because it is the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples to pray. And John 17 should probably be called the Lord's Prayer, because it's the prayer that Jesus prayed. And here's why. If you compare the two prayers, the one that he taught the disciples to pray and all of John 17, there is something missing in Jesus' prayer in John 17 that he taught his disciples to pray earlier. Can you think of what it might be? What's missing? The confession of sin. Jesus doesn't confess sin in his prayer to the Father, even though he tells his disciples to confess sin. He taught his disciples to pray, Father, forgive us our sin, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Now, is Jesus being a hypocrite here, telling them to do something that he's not willing to do? No, that's not what's going on. Jesus doesn't confess sin because Jesus has no sin to confess. You see, even listening in to Jesus' prayer helps us understand more deeply who Jesus is. He led a sinless life. In obedience is part of increasing the power of our prayer life. Notice Jesus prays here. It says, Father, I've finished the work you gave me to do. He's speaking of his own obedience. Father, you assigned work for me to do, and I finished it. But notice then Jesus goes on, and he begins to speak about his original disciples, and he says, they have kept your word. Now, the disciples weren't sinless. Jesus is saying here that when they received God's word, they accepted it. They held it in high authority. They sought to keep it. They sought to live by it. Their obedience matters. My obedience matters. Your obedience matters when it comes to our life as well as our prayers. How often have you been able to pray at the end of the day, I did what you told me to do today, God. I was in the center of your will today. I know many of you are able to do that, and it's amazing to behold and watch. If you're like me, there might be some days that it's like that, and there are other days you're like, man, this day was so jam-packed. I don't even know if I did the Father's will today. I just did everything that was on my schedule. I did everybody else's will around me and everything they needed me to do, but I don't know that I was dead center in the Father's will. If you're living in obedience to the Father, then you have the power to go to him and to talk to him as if whatever it is you're facing in life, that problem you're facing is actually his problem. Because that's really the reality of the situation when you live in the center of the Father's will, when you're doing the work that he has commanded you to do. Let me illustrate. If I send my kids to the store to buy an object for me and they don't have enough money to buy that object, then their problem is really my problem, right? Because they're acting out of obedience to me. So when they ask for the money they need to get the item that I sent them to the store to get, they'll get the money, right? Or if I ask them to do something, but they run up against their limitation and they need my help to complete it, then they will get my help, right? Why can they be assured of my help? Because they're acting out of obedience to me. Now let's turn the tables. Let's say they come asking for my help that is in direct disobedience to my will. That would be ludicrous, right, for them to expect me to help them if they are departing from my will, if they're doing something that I do not want them to do, that's not good for them, not good for others. I think that's why Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then immediately after it says, if in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. He's saying that the anything, if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. He's saying anything that's in alignment with obeying my commands. Obedience not only empowers our life and not only empowers our prayer, but notice here, it helps us get to know the Father better. Jesus prays in verse 6 about the disciples, they kept your word. And then in verse 7, now they know that everything you have given me is from you. So first, they kept your word. So they got to know your word, and then they obeyed it. They kept it. And now they know something about you. They know that everything I have came from you. So obedience often leads to greater revelation of knowing God better. If God tells me to forgive someone, and I find it hard to forgive someone, I pray, God, would you help me forgive them? God helps me forgive them. I forgive them. In the act of forgiving them, I actually am getting to know the Father better. I'm understanding more the forgiveness that he's given me, which helps me understand his heart better for me. There's a virtuous cycle between prayer and discipleship here. When I pray, I get to know the Father better. The better I know the Father and his heart, the more I am willing to trust him and obey, that when he commands me to do something, it's for my good or for the good of those around me. The more that I obey them, the commandments, Jesus' commands, the better I do that, the better I know the Father, which makes me want to spend more time with them in prayer, and the cycle goes on. But there's also a destructive cycle. There's a virtuous cycle, but there's a destructive cycle of prayerlessness that can happen in our lives. I don't pray, so therefore I don't obey, so therefore I don't know and trust the Father. For some people, we can fall into the pattern of being worried and upset about everything because we have the pattern of praying about nothing. You get worried, you get anxious, you pick up the phone, you talk to your friend, you talk to your brother, you talk to your sister, you talk to your spouse, you talk to your kids, you talk to your dog, you talk to yourself. But do you talk to God? God alone is the one that can give you a peace that surpasses understanding when you bring your anxiety to him, presenting those things to him with your requests as well as your thanksgiving. Scripture tells us in Philippians that when we do that, the peace of Christ will guard our heart and our mind. The Father's invite is to come to him in prayer, and from that obedience, out of that obedience, it grows our intimacy and knowledge with him, which frees us from that destructive, anxious, worrying pattern that is a destructive pattern in our life. Brings us to the third thing we see in this first part of Jesus' prayer. There is not one conditional sentence in Jesus' entire prayer. We can learn a lot about ourselves by listening to our own prayers. For example, the story goes that there were two men adrift in a raft on the ocean, and it looked like it was coming to the end for them. For days they were drifting, no one was showing up, they had run out of fresh water, they were hungry, the sun was beating down on them, and one of the men, in an act of desperation, knelt down in the raft and prayed, "Oh Lord, I've broken most of your commandments, I've been a hard drinker, but if my life is spared now, then I promise you that I will never again," and just then his companion interrupted him and said, "Wait a minute, Jack, don't go too far, don't finish that sentence, I think I hear a motorboat coming." You see, the man in the story was a man who liked to cut deals, and so he figured in his prayer life he could cut a deal with God. God, if you do this, then I'll do that. You can learn a lot about a person by how they pray. Or how about the little boy who once prayed, "God, please make Jimmy quit throwing rocks at me. And by the way, God, I've mentioned this to you before." That's someone who likes to manipulate people or feels like they can guilt people, and so they bring that into their prayer life. Like, I'm going to manipulate God into doing what I want to happen. Make no mistake, and we'll look at this as we go on through the series. This prayer is filled with requests. It is a right and good and noble thing for us to present our requests to our Father. But none of the requests that we'll see throughout all of John 17, Jesus' longest prayer, none of them were conditional. Jesus never says, "If you do this, then I guess I'll do that for you. He never says, Father, I'll forgive that other person if you. He never says, Father, I'll be generous if you give me a promotion at work. You give me a little bit more money and you just watch the generosity that flows out of my life. God, give me better friends and I'll become a better friend. I don't like my one friend right now. Could you give me a different one? God, I'll speak up and I'll share about Jesus if you would just give me a sign. You give me a sign and then I will share with my friend about Jesus. Father, I'll deal with my anger when you fill in the blank. Father, I'll worship you when my circumstances change, when my mood changes, when my emotions change. We can learn a lot about ourselves when we listen to our prayers, what we really believe, and the real condition of our souls as we listen in to our conversation with God. See, the more we follow Jesus in our prayers, the less conditional our prayers will become. Jesus continues this prayer by praying in verse 9. He says, I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those who you gave me, because they are yours. And then later in verse 20, he says, my prayer is not for them alone, speaking of the original disciples that were alive whenever Jesus was praying this prayer 2,000 years ago. But he says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. This brings me to the fourth thing that we see. Consider using Jesus' prayer to stretch your prayer circles. If you step back for a moment and look at the entirety of Jesus' prayer in John 17, it has three of what I'm calling prayer circles. Think of it as concentric circles moving outward from Jesus. The first circle, Jesus prays for himself. So that would be circle number one, praying for yourself. The second circle, Jesus prays for the original disciples. These are the people that he knew, you know, Peter, James, John, all the other disciples. That's kind of his second prayer circle. He's praying for those that you know, if we're applying this to ourselves, praying those that we know their names, they're followers of Jesus with us maybe, they're somebody that we're in relationship with. But then Jesus prays for all those who will believe in him through the original disciples' message as they go and they share the good news about Jesus. He's praying for future disciples who will come to know Christ. And so if we're applying that for ourselves, it's not just I pray for me and then I pray for the people that I know. I pray for the people that I don't even yet know who will come to Christ, who I might never even meet, who will come to Christ through your life, through the life of someone I know that I'm trying to influence towards Jesus. So a while back, I used these kind of three prayer circles to assess my own prayer life. And I want you to do that right now. My conviction, I could be wrong, but my conviction is we're probably pretty good at maybe one or two of these circles. We probably default to one or two of the circles. And then maybe one or maybe even more, one or two, we might be like, oh, I don't really do that one that much. And so it helps us both thank God for the area that we're strong in, but also see an area for us to grow. So when I did it and I looked at my own life, I looked at my prayer journals, I thought about my own prayers, I listened in to my own prayers, I discovered that I'm probably the best at praying for the people that I know in my life. That's probably what I'm the best at. I pray daily. I pray for my family. I pray for my wife daily, my kids daily. I pray for our church staff daily. I pray for you all daily. I pray for my friends daily, my extended family members. My prayer journals, when I look at them, they're often filled with people's names that I'm praying for. In fact, many of you, your names are in my prayer journals right now. So I would say that I'm pretty consistent at praying for others. What about praying for myself? I would say on that one, I'm okay at it, but I have room to grow. Most of my prayers quickly jump to not whatever circumstance I'm facing, but ones that maybe my wife, my kids, my family, my friends, the staff, somebody in the church, a life group leader, I quickly go to others, and yet we see in Jesus that he took the time to pray for himself, the type of person he wanted to be. It's really strengthened my prayer life to say, okay, God, before I even get into all the circumstances that everybody I know is facing, I want to pray about the type of man I want to become, the type of character I want to have, the type of person I want to be. So I began to pray more for myself. And when I prayed for myself, what I realized is that often when I did pray for myself, it was largely either confessing a sin to God or thanking Him for, you know, some good thing in my life. I wasn't necessarily praying about the type of man I wanted to be. Does that make sense? That God, I want to be the type of man that's resilient. I want to be the type of man that's compassionate. I want to be the type of man that is humble. I want to be the type of man. So what I've realized is by watching Jesus' prayer and he's praying for himself, Father, I want to glorify you. More of my prayer now is, God, I want to glorify you today. Whatever that might look like, I want to glorify you. When I read Jesus' prayer, it says, I've completed the work you've assigned me to do. It got me thinking, do I only do the work that the Father has assigned me to do? Made me think this, how often do I do work that I think he wants me to do without actually asking him if he wants me to do it? I just kind of assume, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, but I haven't even asked him. Or maybe there are some things that I do that I just do that work because I think I should do that work. Well, no one else is doing it, so I guess I got to step in and do it. And maybe sometimes I overfunction. Maybe I get too impatient for God to work in someone else's life to raise them up to do that area of work. Or maybe, and I think some of us will relate to this, maybe sometimes the work that I do isn't the work that the Father has assigned me to do. It's the work that I do because I'm trying to keep everybody else around me happy with me. Where you start to think, well, you know, my family needs me to do this, my boss needs me to do that, my neighbor needs me to do this, my kids need me to do that. And those aren't bad things. But what I've realized is when I do those things because the Father has told me to do those things, I do them completely with a different attitude. There's a holiness that comes to doing the mundane when I know I'm doing what the Father has asked me to do. So now I pray more often each morning asking God the Father to make clear to me what work he's assigned me to do. I pray more for my own strength and soul and spirit to love and lead and serve others well. I had to balance out my prayers for others by praying more fully and deeply for myself. And ultimately, I think that will help others as I encounter them, right? Because they'll get a different version of me. And it's the same with you. Then lastly, this is the group that I realized that I'm basically the worst at, is praying for future disciples who I have never met and I don't know their names. Jesus prays for people that don't even yet exist. If you're a follower of Jesus, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was including you in this prayer. So now I've begun to pray for people that I haven't even met them yet. I pray for people that are in your life that I might never meet, that you might lead to Christ. I'm praying for those people. I'm praying for people who are not even yet born. This church has a rich history of prayer. And one of the things, going back when I first came on staff almost 20 years ago, I met with some of the oldest people in the life of our church, and they would tell me stories of, we started as what was known as the Italian Christian Assembly, and they would say, oh, the Italians, they wouldn't just pray for each other, they would pray for all the future generations of Christian Assembly that would ever come to this church. We need to recapture that. Maybe you all are doing that. Maybe I'm the only one who's not been doing that. But forgive me for not leading us better to say we don't just want to pray for this generation, we want to pray for all future generations as well. I started praying, for example, recently, for all those who will come to Christ or be built up in faith by the teachings and the music of Christian Assembly. There are countless people who have heard the songs that have been written here. And you and I won't meet most of them, but we can pray for them. I looked the other day on YouVersion. The Bible reading plan, if you don't know YouVersion, it's a Bible reading app. I encourage you to download it on your phone. I looked the other day at it, And over 220,000 people have subscribed to our Bible reading plans that we wrote from this church. 220,000 people in 7 different languages. I'm not going to meet most of those people. But now I'm praying for 220,000 people. God, would you be at work in their life? Would you draw them to you? Or I think of the hundreds of thousands who hear our messages in Vietnam. I've met some of them. I've been to Vietnam. I've met some of them. But I'm not going to meet most of them. But now I'm praying for them. And not only praying for them, I'm praying for the people that they are going to lead to Christ. Because that's what Jesus did. That's how wide his circle became. I'm praying for our people that our kingdom partners are reaching all around the world. So I'm not just praying for our kingdom partners. I'm praying for the people that our kingdom partners would reach. For example, did you know in 2022? Well, let me back up. 2021, we were in 16 countries. 16 countries. In 2022, as of like the last we looked at it, we have partnerships in 21 different countries reaching 30 unreached people groups. I'm praying for those people. I'm praying for Ukrainian refugees that I've never met, but Al and Stacy Anderson, our kingdom leaders, interact with every day. So what about you? How is Jesus' prayer circles for himself, his original disciples, and then for all the others who will ever come to know him through them? How is that strengthening your own prayer life? Maybe one or two of them you're pretty consistent in. Maybe, like me, there'd be another one where you'd say, you know, I could grow in that area as I follow Jesus' structure of praying for different circles of people. You know, one of the things, if you want to strengthen your prayer life, is to have some structure to it. Having some structure to it will help you focus your prayers and help you remember the prayers that you prayed so you can see God at work in your everyday life as a result of your prayers. Let's pray. Alex, you can come on up. Father, we join Jesus' prayer in John 17. Even now, God, we adapt it and we make parts of it our own. Father, we ask that you would help us to come to know you, the only true God, and the Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Make clear to each one of us the unique work that you've assigned us to do. Give us the strength and the discernment and the obedience to do it in your name. Father, help us to be counted amongst those who accept your word and keep it. Not just know it intellectually, but obey it. Father, we ask that you would give each of us fresh ways to obey you. And as we obey you, would you give us fresh ways that our obedience help us know you and know your heart more? Forgive us when we want to lay conditions before you for our obedience. God, if you do this, then I'll do that. Forgive us for the conditionality of our followership at times. I want to lead us now just through the three circles. So now, Father, we pray for ourselves. What do you want to pray for just yourself? Not even your family yet, not even your friends, not your coworkers, just you. What do you want to lay before God? What do you want to say before the Father? Might be something you want to thank him for. It might be a character trait you want to grow in. You want to grow in compassion or resiliency and love and faith and hope. Maybe it's a sin to confess. Maybe you're at a crossroads and you need guidance on a certain decision. God, I really need you to show me, do I go to the right or left here? Which decision would you want me to make that would most honor and most glorify you? Maybe you need fresh strength and you just need to ask him, God, would you give me strength in my inner person? Maybe you need to ask him and pray for joy as we get into the next couple weeks. We'll see, that's one of the things Jesus prays for his disciples, that his joy would be complete in us. Or maybe like Jesus, you need to just say, Father, I want to glorify you. I don't even know fully what that means, what that would look like. But I say, here I am. Use my life so it would honor you, that it would increase your fame and your renown, that people would come to know you as a result of my life. So we pray for ourselves. And now, Father, we pray for other Christians that we know in our relational circles. Who do you know that you want to pray for? Thank God for. Present a prayer request for on their behalf. It might be a family member, coworker, friend, classmate, extended family. And now let's pray together for our little community of Christians called Christian Assembly Church. What do you want to thank the Father for about this community, this family of God? Father, I thank you for all the volunteers serving with our student ministries. I thank you for everyone who's sharing the gospel with their friends as their friends come to know you. I thank you for all the warmth and the love, the welcome that I feel every time I'm with this family called Christian Assembly. What do you want to ask the Father on behalf of our church? Father, I pray that you would make us one. One with you, Father, and one with each other. That you would make us protected from the enemy. That you would sanctify us. That you would make us want to not only know your word, but keep your word. That you would make us ones who delight to see each other, who delight to encourage each other, who bear one another's griefs and celebrate one another's joys. What do you want to ask him on behalf of this church? And now that last prayer circle. Now, Father, we pray for all those who will ever come to know Christ through the people of Christian Assembly. We pray for the people who are alive today, as well as the people not yet born of future generations. And what are you asking the Father to do? Lord, I pray for those who haven't yet come to know you, but will come to know you through the lives of the people who call Christian Assembly home. I pray, God, that they would be drawn to you by your grace and your truth. I pray, God, that they would be protected from the enemy, that addictions would be broken. God, that they would find your healing and your wholeness and the forgiveness of your sin. Lord, we pray that all those future disciples would be one, both the ones who are alive today and the ones for generations to come, that they would be one in you, Father, and in Christ, that the world may believe that you were sent and you have sent Jesus. God, we ask for all those future disciples that they would have a love with which you loved Christ, that it would be in them and be in us. We pray that you would sanctify all those future disciples by your word, that you would mature them, that they would be people of prayer marked by your word and by your spirit. They would be obedient to you for their own good and for your glory. And every bit of glory that you give any of those future disciples, they would be quick to turn it right back around and say, no, 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 I want to use whatever glory I receive to turn it back and say, let me tell you about the goodness of my Father revealed to me in Jesus the Son, empowered in me through the Holy Spirit. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.